And while a bald head and a looped ribbon were seen as badges of courage and hope, her reluctant vocabulary and vanishing memories advertised mental instability and impending insanity. Those with cancer could expect to be supported by their community. Alice expected to be outcast. Even the well-intentioned and educated tended to keep a fearful distance from the mentally ill. She didn't want to become someone people avoided and feared. Accepting the fact that she did indeed have Alzheimer's, that she could only bank on 2 unacceptably effective drugs available to treat it, and that she couldn't trade any of this in for some other curable disease, what did she want? Assuming the in vitro procedure worked, she wanted to live to hold Anna's baby and know it was her grandchild. She wanted to see Lydia act in something she was proud of. She wanted to see Tom fall in love. She wanted one more sabbatical year with John. She wanted to read every book she could before she could no longer read. She laughed a little, surprised at what she'd just revealed to herself. Nowhere in that list was there anything about linguistics, teaching, or Harvard. She ate her last bite of cone. She wanted more sunny 70-degree days and ice cream cones. And when the burden of her disease exceeded the pleasure of that ice cream, she wanted to die. But would she quite literally have the presence of mind to recognize it when those curves crossed? She worried that the future her would be incapable of remembering and executing this kind of plan. Asking John or any of her children to assist her with this in any way was not an option. She'd never put any of them in that position. She needed a plan that committed the future her to a suicide she arranged for now. She needed to create a simple test, one that she could self-administer every day. She thought about the questions Dr. Davis and the neuropsychologist had asked her, the ones she already couldn't answer last December. She thought about what she still wanted. Intellectual brilliance wasn't required for any of them. She was willing to go on living with some serious holes in short-term memory. She removed her BlackBerry from her baby blue Anna William bag, a birthday gift from Lydia. She wore it every day, slung over her left shoulder, resting on her right hip. It had become an indispensable accessory, like her platinum wedding ring and running watch. It looked great with her butterfly necklace. It contained her cell phone, her BlackBerry, and her keys. She took it off only to sleep. She typed, "Alice, answer the following questions. 1. What month is it? 2. Where do you live? 3. Where is your office? 4. When is Anna's birthday? 5. How many children do you have?" If you have trouble answering any of these, go to the file named Butterfly on your computer and follow the instructions there immediately. She set the alarm to vibrate and to appear as a recurring reminder every morning on her appointment calendar at 8 o'clock, no end date. She realized that there were a lot of potential problems with this design, that it was by no means foolproof. She just hoped she opened Butterfly before she became that fool.